Good evening. What a joy it is to be with you again, and I appreciate you being here. Again, we have a number of congregations that's represented, and we're grateful for your presence. I hope you've had a great day. Debbie and I have had a wonderful day. We've been enjoyed fellowship with some of our brethren here and been able to break bread together and just be able to spend some time to share our lives and to share our hearts, and we're grateful for that and for the privilege of being back in this area again to study from the Word of God. You know, when I think about sermons and preaching lessons on parenting, I'm reminded of the fellow one time that before he ever had children, he'd actually printed an article or a small pamphlet that says, 6 Commands for Raising Godly Children. Now, after he had his first child, about 4 or 5 years later, he came out with a second pamphlet. And instead of 6 commands about raising godly children, he named this one 4 recommendations in raising godly children. After his third and final child, and a few years had passed, he came out with the third pamphlet. And in that pamphlet, it said, 3 suggestions in your home. So, you know, I feel somewhat like that tonight. I don't have all the answers. I don't know all of the problems. But I do know there is a source from which we can go. There's a roadmap. And there's a way here that we can find the guidance to give us the proper direction we need to be better parents that we desire to be and have happy homes and marvelous marriages that we talked about and discussed together last night. I am pretty certain there is not a family represented here that at some point in your life as traveling with your family, you have stories to tell, stories to share. You know, it might have been a trip on a vacation when a brother or a sister began to complain and whine to mama or to daddy because, you know, the brother or the sister was too close on your side of the back seat of the car. Or, you know, they were picking at you or they will mock. Now, you've got to understand, I would never do anything like that. I'm sure you know that. But I was brought up with a sister that was very mischievous. And she would do things like that. Now, again, you know that I wouldn't. I mean, I wouldn't try to, you know, pull a trick on anyone. I wouldn't try to do anything like that. But my sister would. So I was always, you know, because she was picking on me and she was doing those things, I was always whining and I was always complaining to my mom or dad because she'd moved over too close or maybe she was picking at me when they wouldn't see me. And, you know, there was once or twice I might have returned the favor to her. You know, and one of the things she did not enjoy is for me to mock her. So she would say, Mama, and I'd say, Mama. And she would say, Daddy, Daddy. And that would just really fire her up. So maybe you have some stories that you can tell. Or maybe, you know, you had a sister that it seemed like our brother, that every 10 or 15 minutes, they were wanting to stop. Or, you know, someone asking all the time, are we there yet? Are we there? Are we almost there? How much longer is it going to be? I mean, you know, just thinking back about that, it really just makes you excited about your next family trip, doesn't it? About those times. But, you know, seriously, some of those precious moments that we all have as family and those precious memories that we cherish may be because we've actually made some of those trips together. Just a couple of days ago, Debbie was talking to one of our children, and we were talking about a memory when we were in Pacifica, and we passed by there, and she called, and she said, we're going right by the air. You remember when you were with us last time out here? We went over here, and we had a little wiener roast after services one afternoon, and they were going, yeah, I remember that. Well, we're traveling right by that same location right now. Sorry you're not here. See, we all have those memories that we cherish. So tonight as we focus on growing, seeking to become better parents, I want us to do so by discussing our topic with kind of a road trip, if you will. a road trip, and hopefully this will be an important journey that our family will take as we study together from the Word of God tonight. Now, maybe I suggest something. This lesson tonight needs to find application in each one of our lives and our hearts, no matter what your life situation may be. Some of us tonight, we are not parents, but you're in a spiritual family. And because you're in a spiritual family, that maybe smaller children, younger children, a part of this spiritual family, then maybe you can take the lessons and say, you know, here's an area that I can be involved in the hearts and in the lives and in the training, finding some ways to mentor, in some ways to encourage, and in some ways to help, lift others up. Amen. On the road trip of life. Or maybe some of us have our children and we've raised our children. And maybe they're no longer in this area. We live in a society today where, you know, we're very transient, so maybe your children or grandchildren are not here in this area, so here's an opportunity. Maybe there's some young people in the congregation where you attend, whether it's from airport or you're visiting from an area congregation. Maybe there's children in that congregation that their grandparents are not with them. So suddenly now you can broaden your scope and you can find others. You know what? They need spiritual grandparents. They need someone that's older that they look up to and they love and they respect and they appreciate it. And you can help mold and you'd help guide. And I assure you that if you have a grandchild in another city, wouldn't you appreciate a godly couple doing that for your grandchildren? Wouldn't you appreciate them taking love and interest and concern and demonstrating Christianity to their lives and molding, help molding them into the image of God and to be children of God that God wants them to be? I mean, there's a place that all of us can make application tonight on our journey, on the roads to life. As we seek to travel together to be better parents, let me first of all say that the road to better parenting is dug with devotion. It's dug with the devotion. Now, you know, roads are built. I have a very dear friend that's a member of the church in Tennessee that his business is, he's a major road contractor. I mean, he builds freeways. He builds interstate systems. And he has never built an interstate system by just going out and saying, okay, here's a piece of land, let's just lay down some asphalt. I mean, you know, right through here. Let's just take this asphalt and we'll just lay right here on top of the ground and, you know, we'll throw the lines on it and man, cars can start traveling back and forth. No. To do that, he has to go in and he takes his graders and he takes his dozers and he'll cut the ground down deeper and deeper and then he'll bring in something with some rocks and some fillers so they'll have a solid foundation to put the road and to build the road and the interstate or the freeway up on. When we start thinking about being better parents and growing in our own lives and growing in our families, I would suggest to you, first of all, the foundation for a successful travel and a great journey of life, it's dug with a sense of devotion. Three areas. First of all, I would suggest parents need to be devoted to God personally. Personally. That's where it starts. The Apostle Paul said to the young evangelist Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, when he says, I keep you in my prayers and I know you have a pure conscience, but he said, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first of all in your grandmother, Lois, and then also in your mother, Eunice, and now I'm persuaded that he's also in you. Where did that devotion begin? Oh, he identified it for us. We don't have to guess. You know, you don't have to take the preacher's word for it. All you have to do is look into the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me, right? And when we look into that precious book divine, what we find is, Paul says, Timothy, you have a deep, sincere, conscientious faith. Where did that seed come from, Timothy? Oh, I look at your grandmother. I look at your mother. And now that is residing in you. The psalmist said it this way. Psalms 128, verses 1 through 4. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children will be like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus the man who is blessed who fears the Lord. You know, when you think about digging with that devotion to God personally, the foundation, brethren, of character, the foundation of character that we want to pass on to our children, they are not built by lectures. They're built by the bricks of good example laid day by day. Not just by lecturing. Bricks day by day. When they see and they observe in our hearts and in our lives that character and that devotion to God. Because it's very, very difficult to give your children something that you do not possess. So you look for that devotion. I don't know where this poem or this statement was found. I came across it just a couple of years ago. The source is unknown, but I like what it says. Listen to the message. It was a sheep, not a lamb, that strayed away in the parable that Jesus told. A grown-up sheep that had grown astray from the 99 that was in the fold. Out on the hillside, oh, out in the cold, 'twas a sheep that the good shepherd sought. And back to the flock, safe in the fold, 'twas a sheep that the good shepherd brought. And why for the sheep should we earnestly long, and for the sheep as earnestly hope and pray? Because there is danger. If they go wrong, they will lead the lambs astray. For the lambs? Oh, for the lambs will follow the sheep, you know, wherever the sheep may stray. When the sheep go wrong, it will not be long till the lambs are as wrong as are they. And so with the sheep, we earnestly plead. For the sake of the lambs today, if the sheep are lost, what a terrible cost for the lambs will have to pay. When I read that, I thought, wow. What a great example to those of us who have the privilege of being a parent and the fact that we can lead our sheep as lambs of God. We can lead our sheep in a way, but it all begins with a foundational place that is devoted to God personally. Number two, our children, if we're going to be better parenting, we're going to dig deeply with devotion. Parents, they need to be devoted to each other. Last night, we talked about that permanence and we talked about that oneness concerning marriage. I am told by those who do studies and research in this area that the average length of a marriage, if you take all the marriages and all the divorces and all that's occurring in our country, the average length of a marriage in America is 7.2 years. 7.2 years. I believe if we're going to be better parents, then what we must do is our children need to see parents who are not only devoted to God personally, but they're devoted to each other as well. In an expanded sense of the word, honestly, folks, your children know if you're devoted to one another or not. They know if mama loves daddy and daddy loves mama. They know that. They're sharp little minds and they watch and they observe. And possibly, brethren, there is not a greater gift then you can give to your children than to be devoted to your spouse, to your mate. They need to see you loving God, and they need to see you loving one another. They need to see you devoted to God. They need to see you devoted to one another. If you're going to dig deep for a foundation to build your home on, if it's going to be a happy home and a marvelous marriage, then they need to see you devoted to God. They need to see you devoted to one another. And then number three, they need to see parents who are devoted to their children. We're all familiar with the story of Hannah praying to God for a child, with a promise that, Lord, if you'll just give me this child, we'll give his child back to you in godly service. And the Lord answered that prayer. And usually we stop right there and we talk about, we use these lessons on Mother's Day, and we use that text on Mother's Day, but we never stop to consider Hannah's husband, Elkanah. We don't think about him. He was involved as well. He was a Levite, devoted to serve in the worship of God, and he was so supportive and a part of that process. I mean, you can read about it in 1 Samuel 1, verses 20 through 28. When he was devoted to God and he went in and made a sacrifice unto God. He was devoted to that child just like his wife. So when I think about this digging with devotion, make sure that what you give your children is what they need and not necessarily what they want. You're the parent. You should know best. They may not always like it or agree, but don't allow the authority of your home and of your children to be controlled in that family by the children. They don't always know best, and we may not always know best. But by the experience of life, and by spending time with God in His Word, and spending time with God in prayer, seeking His wisdom for a family that would honor Him, and for a family that would be godly, then I would say to us tonight, then what we need to do, we need to make sure that in that process, when they see our children devoted to them, that more than just giving that instruction, someone said good parenting is described as 10% talking, 90% listening. I didn't do that very well. 10% talking, 90% listening. And then when you talk a whole lot less, perhaps they will listen a lot more clear. See, we're just talking about that foundation. You know, make sure that you are the parent. You know, I like to have this saying that, you know, don't let the tail wag the dog. Don't let the tail wag the dog. Let them see that you're devoted to them in your instruction and in your guidance. But not only is the road to better parenting dug with devotion, it is paved with patience. In other words, my friend that does this type of work says, once they get all the foundation in place, they get the rock there, they get that solid foundation, now they're ready to come in and they get a paving machine and they will lay the asphalt or they will lay the concrete. They will pave that bed that has a solid foundation. Now they will pave that so we can begin to get ready to travel up on it. As you think about now, the foundation is laid. We've dug with that devotion to God, to each other as parents, and as husband and wife, and to our children. Now, how do we pave? What is the pavement we put on this roadway of life? It is paved with patience. Sometimes, folks, you just got to hang in there. It's not always easy. You know, it's not always easy to be unspotted in a spotted world. It's not always easy as parents to be clean in a world of uncleanness. It's not always easy to be light in a world of darkness. So therefore, it's going to require a lot of patience, and we just have to hang in there. It's reminding me of the story of a man in a supermarket. He was pushing his cart through the aisles, and you could tell that he probably hadn't been there every week. You know, he was looking and he was wondering where certain items were found, and he had a very unhappy and a very loud baby boy. And the little baby was just screaming and crying and whining, and the father just calmly and patiently was saying, it'll be all right, George. It'll be all right. Hang in there. George, just calm down. George, we're going to be out of the store soon. We're going to be gone soon. Just don't get so excited, George. Just calm down. And a lady came up to him and she said, Sir, I really admire how much patience you are showing with your little boy that's crying and he's loud. And I can only imagine what this little boy, you're demonstrating great patience. And he said, thank you, ma'am, but the baby isn't George, I'm George. And he was just trying to teach himself some valuable lessons here about being paid with patience. He was trying to talk to himself. Calm down, George. Be patient. We're going to get out of here soon. This is going to be over. And when I read that story, you know, that's exactly the way it is that in life. That sometimes it's not always easy. And sometimes we need answers from above. And sometimes we need to look to others, as we said a few moments ago, about those of us who have raised our children and perhaps we're now grandparents. Our lives have been blessed. We have experiences. And hopefully we have wisdom as older individuals that been there with our children and maybe with our grandchildren, that we have some insights that we can offer to other individuals that are perhaps struggling. And as we strive to help them to be a roadway that is paved with patience. It's like Hebrews chapter 12, a very familiar passage. Therefore, let us lay aside every weight of sin. You know, we're surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. But then he says, let us run with endurance, with patience, the race that is set before us. A lot of times we use that passage, we talk about it. It's a great passage of faith. In running the Christian life, in running the Christian race of life, we use that passage. And I think appropriately so. But let me suggest tonight that we look at it from a different aspect. That tonight we look at that passage, we think of it in a different way, and as it says, that let us run with patience the race that is set before us, rather than just our Christian walk and our Christian race and our Christian life. Let's say that we just look at this verse with the ideal of family, parenting. Let us run with patience, endurance, perseverance, the race. The raising, the rearing, the guidance of our children and of our family. And as you think about that, maybe you can run this race of faith. You can run this race of being a parent. And maybe you look at it that you have your arms. And in those arms you have your children. And maybe that is even more difficult than running it by yourself. Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, verses 22 and 23. One of those fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. One of those is kindness. One of those is gentleness. In other words, it's paved with patience. It's paved in a way that will always require us looking to God for that wisdom that we need in our life. I like what someone has said, and I don't know who's written this. When God gave me my children, instead of giving me handfuls of clay to mold, He gave me chunks of marble to chisel. But when I got through, I really had something. Isn't that a great way of looking at it? It's not just a handful of clay to mold. It may be a chunk of marble. And it may take a lot more effort and a lot more work and a lot more diligence and a lot more patience to chisel with God blessing you with wisdom. And probably in some of our families, we've got some marble harder than others, right? We did. We have three. And you know, our middle child now, that's probably the easiest child. When he was about 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, whew, He was some hard marble. And we chiseled. Boy, did we chisel. And sometimes you're going, whoop, that was a mistake. How am I going to correct that? But I'm going to tell you something. We really have something by the grace of God, by the blessings of God. And so when you look at becoming better parents, it's dug with devotion. It's paved with patience. And maybe just sometimes you need to be reminded that you have marble. That it's not just clay. Clay is easy to mold. But marble may be a little more difficult to chisel away into the image of God. Then the third thing. If we're going to be better parents, if we're going to travel this road, better parenting, it's lined with love. So you have a foundation. Now we've got the pavement. But now wouldn't you... Oh, can you imagine being on the interstates and there's no lines on the interstate? And you just go wherever you wanted to? There was no certain lanes for you to get into and to travel that's been marked and lined off? Can you imagine that? Thankfully, we have lines on the interstate to help us on our roads. And maybe you have been traveling on a roadway because of maintenance neglect, or maybe because of a heavy rain, because of darkness of night. I mean, I know you never have any fog out here or anything like that, that would be hard to see at night. Just this past week, as our son was taking me to the airport to fly out of Nashville, Tennessee, to come here for the meeting, we had a little bit of snow and ice on the ground on the interstate. And he's taking me to the airport, and it's about a 25-minute drive. And as we're going on the interstate, we can't see the white lines. All we see is white. Everything's white. And, you know, there's this big tractor trailer in front of us, and, you know, we're trying to follow him. And my son said to me one time, he said, "I have no idea what lane I'm in." And I said, "I don't either. I don't know if we're in the center." Be honest, sweetie, I think we was in about half of the right-hand lane and about half of the left-hand lane. Because we couldn't see the lines. And we both were a little bit concerned and we were both a little bit nervous. Because he probably wasn't driving as slow as I would like for him to. And, you know, I was making sure the seatbelt was good and tight. And we're trucking down the interstate and we really can't see the lines. And I'm thinking, wow, this is not too easy for me. You know what, folks? I am so thankful that God has provided us some lines on the roadway of life for our parenting and for our children and for our homes and for our marriages. And that when we look into this precious book divine, we can see, you know what, folks? Just as we were traveling that morning on this road, Interstate 40, freeway, it wasn't too easy. And sometimes when we look at the roadway of life, of bringing up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, sometimes it's difficult. And sometimes you may not be able to see the lines, but I don't know if you have them out here. I haven't gotten onto the right side of the interstate. But, you know, in Tennessee and some of our areas, once you get past the outside white line of the interstate, we have what they call rumble strips, you know, where they cut little strips in the road. And you get over there and they go, and it makes all this noise, you know, if you doze off, you know, and you get over there. It makes all of this noise and lets you know you're outside the lines. You're getting close to the guardrail. And you're getting close to something that is dangerous. When we have our grandson with us sometimes, who's almost five, I have him in the back seat, and he'll be doing something. Sometimes I'll just kind of ease over in those rumble strips and go, "Durr!" He'll say, "Grandpapa, you're a crazy driver." Well, you know, sometimes I feel kind of that way in life. I need lines, Lord. I need guidance. I need direction to help bring my family and to help my children grow up in a way that would honor you and live for you and bring glory to your precious name, Father. I need those lines, God, because if I'm left alone, I'm going to hit the rumble strip some, I promise you, brethren. And I may get past the lines of safety. And thankfully, when I try to navigate safely, I can come back and I can see those lines. And best parenting is lined with love. You know, it's not always easy to discipline and to do the things our children need to have done and need to be instructed and guided in the behavior. But if you will look on the roadway of life, if you look at those lines as lines of love to instruct and to guide and to correct and to direct. Just like the wise man Solomon said in Proverbs 13 and verse 24, that he who loves his children will discipline them promptly. You know, and don't read that verse and think that just discipline is just always looking for an avenue to say no, or an avenue to spank or put in the corner, or sometimes it's corrective, sometimes it's just leading by example, sometimes it's leading by instruction, sometimes it is correcting. It was so funny here a couple years ago in our home congregation. This parent decided that because the child was misbehaving, that they'd done some other avenues of discipline. They told the child, said, "You go and you stand and you put your nose in that corner." He's okay. So he goes over in the corner, puts his nose in the corner. And about 3 minutes later, he is crawling down the floor with his nose in the corner of a wall in the floor. And they said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I have my nose in the corner." He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. He did. And sometimes we look at this aspect of what the wise man said in Proverbs 29 and verse 17. "Correct your son. He will give you rest. Yes, he will delight to your soul." See, when I look at the roadway of parenting, I see this parenting that is lined with love. You know, that's the first fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, gentleness. See, that's what we're looking for in our homes. In a way that would bring the honor to the Father. Deuteronomy 6 in the Old Testament: "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you should love Him with all of your soul and with all of your heart and with all of your strength." And then He says, "And these are the words I command to your children as well. Teach them diligently to your children. And talk of them when you're in your house and when you're walking by the way and when you're getting up and when you're lying down." In other words, in the whole roadway of life, the road to better parenting will always be lined with love. Now, love is not always just saying yes to everything that they've asked. Sometimes the very greatest demonstration of love may be in a way that would guide them and direct them in a way in which they do not need to go, in which they're wanting to go. When I look at the roadway of life, brethren, if we're going to be better parents, the road of better parenting ends in eternity. It's dug with devotion. Got to get a foundation. That foundation, devotion to God, devotion to each other, devotion to our children. Once that foundation is in place, it is paved with patience. Once the foundation is in place, the pavement's in place, now we've got to have some direction. How do we stay on the roadway of life in having families that would honor God? We have it lined with love. Where does this road take us? It ends in eternity. The destination is not just a vacation. The destination is not getting them through school, through a college, a home or a house of their own. Those are just points along the way. The destination is eternity. Like Matthew 19 and verse 14. Let the children come unto me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. The ultimate goal and the ultimate result of this roadway of parenting is the pursuing and the arrival of the beautiful place that is called heaven. That we strive to lead and to guide, and that's our goal. That's our destination. And you know, some of us may have children that you say, well, I want them to be there. And as parents, you just continue to pray fervently and you seek to prepare them. Every opportunity, you pray for wisdom. And you pray for those individuals. And you pray for yourself that God will open up doors of opportunity to influence and to mold and to guide, whatever ages they may be. Maybe some of us in the auditorium tonight, we have children that maybe they've been on the roadway of life and traveling in the right direction, but they got detoured. Maybe they've swerved off the track. Maybe they've gone beyond the rumble strips and they just kept traveling. And maybe you look at their lives tonight and you say, boy, they're not where God wants them to be, and they're not where God would like for them to be. And I would say to you tonight, as you continue to pray, you continue to have that patience, and you continue to seek God's will in that individual's life every opportunity that you have. Because you never know when you plant a seed that will grow in that individual's life and blossom into the fruit of eternal life in heaven. You never stop praying and you never give up on the roadway of life, because the ultimate goal, brethren, is heaven. That's the destination. The destination is not the things of this life. It's eternal in nature, not temporary. And sometimes we become so discouraged as we're traveling the roadway of parenting. And sometimes our patience, or sometimes we don't understand how's the best to show our love. And I would just say that you continue to look to God for that wisdom and for that guidance, and you continue to pour it into God's hands. And you seek His blessing and His will in those individuals' lives. And those of you that have children that are small and young and grandchildren, I would encourage you, you start praying for those children now, for their godly makes. And you say, my child's only 2 or 3 or 5 or 6. Then you're 2 years behind. If they're 6, you're 6 years behind. Right? Our middle child, he and his wife are expecting their first child. And my wife and I, we're already praying for that child. We don't know if it's a boy or a girl. We know it's going to be loved. And we know if it's a son or a daughter, a grandson or a granddaughter, our goal is going to be have that child in heaven. So we're starting to pray for that child. That child will be brought up in the image of the Father. That child will be brought up in a way that would honor the Father. And we don't know who that child's mate's going to be. But if we have a granddaughter, he better be a good guy. Right? Pray for that. A godly man. A godly wife. If you have children that are small, if your children are older, you continue to pray for that. Because, brethren, our destination at the end of the journey is not how much we leave them. It is what have we left behind. What's the image we've left behind? Not what stuff have we left behind. What's the image we've left behind? What's the journey? What's the roadway they're going to be able to travel as they seek to do the will of God? A little girl was talking one evening, Now, well, they were out on a walk, and her and her father, and it was a beautiful night, and they were just visiting and talking and sharing, and he was listening, and suddenly, a little girl looks up into the sky, and it's a beautiful, bright, starlit evening. And with amazement and excitement, she said, "Dad, is that heaven?" And he said, "Honey, that's the outside of heaven." And she said, "Dad, if that's the outside of heaven, and it is so beautiful, what must the inside be like? I want to find out, don't you? And I want our families to find out. And I want our children and our grandchildren to find out. What's it like on the inside? With the end of the journey of life here, our goal? The inside. The beautiful city that God has prepared that is called heaven. Are you traveling on the road that will lead you there? Are you, as a parent or as a child, are you traveling on the road of obedience to the Father? Or do you need to come tonight in obedience, being baptized, or maybe just kind of refocusing of that faith, a renewal of your walk with the Jesus? If you have a need like that, would you come to Him as together we stand and we sing?